Kia ora team, and welcome to the latest All Things PE podcast. Sit back and enjoy these short and sharp discussions around physical education with people who hold the subject close to their hearts. Kia ora team, and welcome to the latest All Things PE podcast. Now today I have the honour of speaking with Patrick Hughes, who you may know as Coach Pat 1984 on Twitter. Now I'm really excited to talk to Patrick today due to the fact that his story from when he was a youngster is pretty cool. Patrick, it's super cool to have you on the show. I'll pass the mic on over to you to introduce yourself and tell us something interesting about yourself.
My name is Patrick Hughes, but I usually go by Pat. It's funny because when I was a kid, both my parents were teachers, and I always thought I'd grow up to be a Mr. Hughes, but early on in my career, everyone just called me Coach Pat, so I haven't hit that Mr. Hughes mark yet. But something interesting about me that a lot of people don't, well, may not know because I don't advertise it that much, but I was in the military for 5 years.
Fantastic. That's I must have learned a few things there.
I kind of took the long road to going to school. I knew that after I was finished, they would pay for my college and whatnot. But I really wanted to go to obviously defend and honor my country, but also to learn some responsibilities as a young adult.
Fantastic! That's super. I admire that. It's always something that I never got around to doing, and being from little old New Zealand, it's sort of something that you either do or don't do. So I chose to go just straight to the teaching path, but no, that's really neat, mate. Okay, so question one, what I'll do is I'll get a few quick fire questions towards you. All you need to do is answer the questions as fast as you can, see if you can be a little bit creative, and we'll see what we come up with. What was your first job?
I bagged groceries at a supermarket and got the carts from outside for a summer job when I was in high school.
If someone was to play you in a movie, who do you think that person would be?
Goofball. Who would play? I don't know if I can do this in 20 seconds. Adam Sandler.
You do actually look a bit like Adam Sandler. That's actually pretty good. What does success mean to you?
Me, I think, is really internal, and I don't think it should be monetized necessarily. I think we're both lucky because we work in things doing what we love, and I think if you wake up every day looking forward to all the possibilities, and even if it may just be your run-of-the-mill, I don't want to say boring, but mundane, everyday day. If you wake up and you're happy and everything in life you're excited about, that's what success means to me.
Cool, very cool. What is one of your favorite memories?
Favorite memories? Playing basketball with my dad when I was really young. He coached all my sports when I was really young, even if he didn't know the sport that well, but he was a PE teacher as well, so he was kind of gifted in that regard. But yeah, just spending time with my parents, but really after dinner every night, we would go shoot hoops we lived in a complex, so that really got me into sports at a young age.
Awesome. Now, if you didn't have to sleep, what would you spend your extra time doing?
So it's night, I don't know, maybe, this is gonna sound boring, but probably exercising or working out in some shape or form. I mean, I get it in during the day, but sometimes late at night, I wanna go exercise instead of doing it during the day, but I'm scared it'll keep me up at night. So maybe some sort of exercising, night biking, stuff like that.
All right. Just getting shredded. Good work. Okay, nice work with that, mate. It's always cool to hear and hear the answers that we get on those quickfire questions. What was it that made you want to be a teacher? Where did it all begin?
It's not the most exciting answer, but it's a funny story. So both my parents were teachers. My dad in his younger years taught PE, and then he switched to another passion he had, which was social studies. He's really passionate about history and Greek mythology and stuff like that. My mom taught English. And when I was a kid, I don't know why, but I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a teacher. I was young and not very bright. I think I wanted to be in hotel management or something like that. Because when I was a kid, I just wanted to make a ton of money. And one of my family members was in hotel management. And I learned about his hours once I got older. And I said, no way, dude. And then the more I thought about it, teaching seemed perfect to me because I saw how passionate my parents are, how much time they put in just to take care of their students and their kids, the relationships, like when kids would graduate, they would come back to Jakarta and take my parents out to lunch or stuff like that because they had such a strong impact on them. And I've always had a passion for sport and exercise, and I mean that was my life in high school. I did three sports. I did track and field, I did volleyball, and I did basketball. And anytime my friends and I, we would play capture the flag or stuff like that when we were in our little compound. So mixing physical activity and learning about it, really understanding the ins and outs of it. And also a big factor to me is when I started studying is how to learn how to make friendships and relationships. And that's such a big part of physical education, which as a young buck, like, yeah, I knew that was happening, but I didn't really think about it. I thought PE was just maybe a place where me and my friends were passionate about things, but I made different types of friends that I never thought I would through going to physical education classes. So I wanted to be able to give that to students and to people that are growing. And like PE, it's different internationally, as you know. I think it's done very well, but in different countries and stuff, with the limited amount of time sometimes students meet, I've heard about cuts, I've heard about let's not focus on the social emotional. I think that's better now, but I really wanted to put a stamp wherever I could to make sure PE was, in my mind, being taught the right way.
Cool, yeah, that's great. And again, it's really interesting to hear. I love hearing the stories of how people came to be, and you know, through the internet and through the social media now, you can always make these connections to all these amazing educators worldwide, and hearing their stories and how they came to be is always fairly neat. So that's really, really cool. Now, that leads into my next question, which is, you've mentioned that both your parents were teachers, and we hear this word third culture kid being thrown around. So for those of you that don't know, maybe you could explain what that is and how it might have guided you towards your teaching journey this far.
Third culture kid pretty much means a person growing up most of their childhood, if not all of their childhood, in a country that's not their own. So my parents were very good friends with the late Dick Kreitzer. He was a very good friend. He was the head of IRCOS. They helped them get into international teaching. And so he got him a job first in Syria, and then they went to Pakistan, and then they had me and moved to Jakarta, Indonesia, and got jobs at Jakarta International School. And now it's Jakarta Intercultural School, but that just makes me feel old because I remember it as Jakarta International School, but basically I moved there before kindergarten, and I lived in, I did K through 12 at Jakarta International School. So I was a third culture kid to the fullest because I lived my, I mean, kindergarten through 12th grade graduation, I was in a foreign country. And when a lot, it's interesting because a lot of times it, on the few podcasts I've gone on, some people will say, well, what do you consider home? And I would probably say I consider Indonesia home. I mean, obviously I'm not Indonesian, but I learned Indonesian before I learned English because of my nanny. And the culture, just everything makes sense to me. Favorite food is Indonesian. And all my best, well, not my best memories. I mean, all my childhood memories are from Indonesia, whether we were in Bali, whether we were in Lombok, whether we were at home in Jakarta. So once, as I said, I grew out of the hotel management phase, I knew I wanted to do what my parents did. And originally, when back when I was young, just started teaching, and my goal was to get back to Jakarta, to teach at Jakarta International School, because that place means so much to me. As I grow older, I find joy in going to new places and teaching in new countries. I mean, that's what my parents were doing, learning new cultures. I mean, that's the dream, really. So I would say being a third culture kid really impacted me on making my decision to be an international culture international school teacher. I never had any interest to even teach in the States. And that's not a knock on the States. I wanted to live internationally. It's what makes sense to me. So as soon as I graduated, I contacted Search Associates and ISS. I already knew everything to do because of my parents. So that made my life a little easier. My parents knowing a lot of people in those companies made my life a little easier. They prepped me for the interview process. And I was still in college, and I think I went to a search fair just as a trial run, just to do practice interviews, maybe get an internship. So that really set me up for success. And part of it's being a TCK, part of it's having my parents being international teachers and knowing the dance, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you hear of these, you hear of third culture kids, and it sounds like, I mean, you might be a bit of a, you don't hear it very often of someone who in an international school who stays at the international school from K right through to 12. It's quite often that obviously the parents are they're traveling, or they've got work commitments, and they are third culture kids, but they're experiencing many different cultures. So it's quite impressive that you were lucky enough to, I guess, be really immersed in that culture in Indonesia and have that experience all the way through.
I have to credit my parents for that. I think they said no matter what, I mean, I don't have proof, but from what I understand, they said, we want to normalize Patrick's education. He's going to have friends that he's going to make strong connections, and he's not going to be the one that wants to leave him behind. So I think that, I mean, it's a fantastic school, but I mean, after I left, my parents went to Europe. They teach at the American International School of Budapest because it's been their dream to live in Europe. They love Europe. So part of me thinks they stuck, I don't want to say stuck it out because it's such a great place to live, but they wanted to explore more of the globe and whatnot. But that they made a vow pretty much to do their careers there while I was a student so I could experience the Dragon Way, I guess you would call it. And then it also, just to add, so linking PE or athletics and TCK, I was fortunate enough to play varsity sports in high school. So I got to travel to Singapore, to Manila, to KL, Taipei for tournaments and stuff like that. and we'd have time to check out the cultures and meet different people and stuff like that. So as a kid from Boston, to be able to do that was just an incredible experience. So all the way through, I loved everything about it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm just thinking about, obviously I've got a couple of kids and you see, as we've mentioned, that the kids are, you know, you might see them moving and coming and going quickly. Did you experience having to say hooray to your friends and friends made quite often? I mean, I know my daughter, she's currently, you know, at the age where she's, you know, she makes these friends and she makes these connections, and then maybe a couple of years later they're gone. Like she's just had, a lot of her friends have just left. It's quite hard explaining that to her in regards to, well, that's just kind of how it is. Like, did you have to experience and go through those types of things, and how did you deal with it?
Yeah, so the interesting is that back in the 90s going into the early 2000s, maybe it was where we were, maybe it was school, but most of the people that I met, whether they were really young with me, got there early, or got there in middle school, whatever, stayed through. But I had a couple of friends that left, some really close friends, and they didn't leave until I was like in late middle school, early high school. So I think it's a little different for me because I can accept that pretty easily. I understand why they're leaving. Like, I knew what their parents did. I knew this kid, Jesper, he's from Denmark. His dad worked in an oil company and they move a lot. I understand that. I think I had a couple of one or two friends that left in elementary. I was heartbroken. I didn't really question why they were leaving. I think it didn't make sense to me because I was so young, why they would live anywhere else. That's a really hard question, though.
The reason why I ask it is we talked about, and you've mentioned the social emotional kind of things. Is it something that maybe with being international school teachers, is it something that maybe we need to talk about and maybe address in physical education in regards to how, you know, these social and emotional things can impact the way we move and the way we feel and things like that? Is that, I mean, it's just come to my head now. Like, I know that we haven't done it, and, you know, we obviously talk about social, emotional, physical well-being, and, you know, that the feelings and the, you know, the communications and things, but, you know, I haven't really talked about or specifically spoken about, you know, well, hey, we do live in an environment where our friends do come and they do go. So maybe it might be something that could be a focus on.
Should be a focus, especially when we're talking about, and don't get me wrong, everything we're talking about in health and PE is important, but we're talking about drugs and we're talking about sex ed and stuff like that. Those all impact us, whether go the drug or alcohol route. It happens in your life, or maybe it doesn't. We don't know for sure that some of these kids are going to leave, but they might. And I think it's important that we cover all bases of what a child could experience as far as it would affect their emotions. Unfortunately, I think so many international schools follow curriculums that are from other countries and stuff like that. It would be beautiful if, I don't know, I'm not trying to headline this, but if people could come together and maybe, as far as PE goes, or influence the standards from an international school perspective. And I'm sure it's been done. I just haven't been at a school that uses it. But if we could refocus standards, and a lot of times standards are kind of open, so I'm sure we could fit those in. But I think it's really important to talk about friendships and the likelihood that you might have to say goodbye to someone before you're ready.
Yeah, definitely. It might be something that we can reach out with, and obviously listeners can get in touch with us and share their ideas and thoughts. It'd be great. We'll share those Twitter handles at the end of the show. You're currently teaching in, in an international school environment, having come from an international school environment yourself. Can you tell us about your experiences so far and, you know, the pros and cons of teaching within that environment?
So I'm going into my 8th year of teaching, and I have taught 4 years in Kazakhstan. And sorry, 7th year, and this is my first year in China. So everywhere is different, obviously, but the thing that I try to focus it on is your students. And you do that in America, you can do that in New Zealand, but like in Kazakhstan, I had such an array of different nationalities. And now I'm at a Chinese immersion school. So it's one solid culture. I mean, obviously there are differences in every culture and different kids, but also different beliefs. When I was in Kazakhstan, we had a big Malaysian population. So when Ramadan came around and stuff like that, I had to cater to people that were fasting and stuff like that. Just like when I was in high school, a lot of my classmates were fasting. So I had to get innovative in ways that they could participate. Maybe that means, if they're doing peer assessments or something like that, they're not necessarily, doing the activity, but they are coaching or they are keeping records or they are assisting people in understanding stuff like that. And that's something that should be done all the time, but, the sports education model, but on a bigger platform because it's not always sports focused. Whereas here, everybody's kind of on the same wavelength, but they're also at a boarding school. So we have a lot more disciplinary reports to write. Like tardy or being absent has a heavy, heavy weight because they're not going home every day. If they're sick, they need all this documentation to identify that they're actually sick and not just hanging out in their dorms and stuff like that. So the advice I would give to people that are doing their career internationally and just be ready for different cultures and expectations and stuff like that. And you just need to be ready to adapt. The best thing I can say is no matter what, always have a plan for someone that might be injured, someone that might not be able to participate, someone that doesn't believe in the views that you're presenting, like in a health class. Like someone may not agree with the views. I had a very strong Christian Christian influence at my first school, and I had to be really careful when teaching sex ed. I had to acknowledge that in some instances you need to be careful, even if it's before marriage and stuff like that, and these are the things you need to look out for. But also I need to discuss the importance of religious beliefs and saving yourself for marriage and stuff like that. So I really had to balance the two. So it's just been a different environment wherever I go, and I just learn how to quickly adapt, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess with being in physical education or health and PE, we are lucky in regards to there are lots of different ways that we can adapt and change and mold what we're doing to you know, help teaching and learning run more smoothly. But you're right. I guess it is good to have that backup and always have a plan B up your sleeve or you're up your polo shirt that don't normally have sleeves, but you know, it's some really good advice there. Leading on from that question, can you tell us just a little bit about your sort of teaching philosophy? And if we were to walk into your class, what would we see and hear happening in your environment?
So, obviously, I'm still growing, and I've made changes like up to the last month of school. So I'm constantly changing, and Twitter has saved my life. I don't even know if I I'd be a great teacher without Twitter. The amount of information on there has really helped mold my philosophy. And I'm sorry to the listeners and to you. I'm kind of a rambler. I'll try to get straight to the point.
Yeah, good. No, it's all good, mate.
So my philosophy, first and foremost, is the kids are having a good time. I don't think you're going to get any benefit, nor are the kids going to get any benefit if they're not looking forward to coming to your class. And there's that argument, I don't like PE, I don't like activities and stuff. Well, there's ways you can make it more enjoyable. I mean, as Vasily has talked about and stuff like that, meaningful PE is a way, as I alluded to earlier. Let's say a student really, really dislikes physical activity or stuff like that. A lot of times you can find something they're passionate about and include it in the classroom. So let's say someone's very passionate about numbers or statistics and stuff like that. You can get them excited about keeping track of what they're doing, measuring VO2 maxes, stuff like that, and helping you, let's say we're doing a basketball unit. They can help other people. Obviously, they're still going to participate, but they can also have the role of statistician or something like that. And they can help me or help their classmates understand doing, like if they're doing free throws, what their percentages are and different ways to raise those percentages. If someone's into more of a scientific base, you can focus on the biomechanics of a movement. That'll make things more interesting rather just, and I'm not saying teachers do this, but rather saying do this movement. If you can include, and I know that's a lot of extra work, I get it. But if you can focus, and keep in mind, I teach middle school and high school. If you can focus on like the biomechanics or the angular velocity of a movement, you might pique some interest into some of those students that are interested in those things. Again, this all goes back to me understanding what my students like. You really need to personalize your relationships with them. So you take the time to get to know them, like what they enjoy out of class. And I wouldn't recommend doing that in what's everyone's favorite hobby, because they're not really going to talk about it. Try to have, like, I have office hours and I try to get to know each and every one of my students and focus, and then they're not going to be as candid because they don't feel like they're going to be embarrassed by what they say in front of a whole classroom. Another thing that I like to focus on is the development of relationships, and I told you that was one of the reasons I got in to PE, is because it did wonders for me. And even going off what I just said, a lot of students I've seen that weren't interested in physical activity before have made friends through PE. And then I happen to see them throwing the frisbee on the quad or doing things they might not normally do. And I'm sure that the other friend is maybe doing things with them, learning about artwork or going to their music recitals and stuff like that. So in creating these relationships, I think it really gives them a whole scope and sequence of the arts and the beauty of education, whether it's by watching their friends or doing it with their friends and stuff like that. And the last thing is just being purposeful, making sure I have a plan, making sure that there's not really dead time. I have a backup plan if something doesn't go well. I just want my kids to be engaged and to be having a good time. Obviously, learning and hitting standards and stuff like that. And the last thing I want to say about it, and Mel Hamada, I know she got it from somewhere else, but I was doing a badminton unit, and I was trying to make it more fun for not as good as badminton. They can vary. So I went to a couple years ago at Faith. She did this thing about team badminton challenges, and this can pretty much be used in any sport. But for a type of assessment, whether you want to do a summative or a formative, there's these different types of team badminton challenges, and they do it with a partner or the groups that you make or groups you allow them to make. One of them is hit the birdie over the racket 10 times without dropping it. Another fun, and then it gets more fun. Like between each hit, you need to run back, touch the line, and then hit it again. Like it's just an array of different ways that it's not just skill and drill, skill and drill, skill and drill. Like they're finding ways to collaborate and to have fun. So collaboration, I guess, would be the last one.
Yeah. You hear a lot about agency at the moment as well, and you know, students having a little bit more input in regards to what they're learning, and it gives them that little bit more ownership of it, and you know, giving them the opportunity to, you know, create their own experiences and try out different things as well. So sounds like, you know, those types of drills with that badminton example is a good way of, you know, getting them to try those different things, and they go, oh, okay, well, what can we do now? What's something that you can create that might, you know, be connected to the same skills or concepts that we're learning?
I think autonomy is very important. I think anytime a student can create on their own and use their brains and relate it to the topic, that's the most beautiful lesson you can have. When students take full control or control of any type of learning, I definitely admire that and try to do it as much as I can.
Mm. It's also about, you've mentioned it before, is having a plan B. And I guess as a PE teacher or any kind of teacher, is actually knowing that and understanding that if a lesson isn't going well, it's okay. And, you know, to pull pin and to come at it from a different angle and go, right, this isn't working, guys. Like, and then take it from there as well. So I think that's a really important thing that you touch base on there as well.
It's my fault. Like, I was like, this isn't working because of me. So don't worry about it. This is my fault. I mess up. Let's do this instead.
And I think the kids appreciate that as well, don't they? That ownership and, you know, taking, and I guess it's that taking on, you know, those responsibilities for yourself as well, and showing that, you know, showing those students that we do mess up. So
yeah, that's their favorite thing to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we'll go on to the next question. You're currently the mastermind behind a great website, Coach Pat Chat. Tell us a little bit about that and what our listeners can find there.
So Coach Pat Chat is basically, it started out as a blog, and I used to blog a lot. This year it also has a link to my podcast, which is also called Coach Pat Chat, has the episodes on there. And then it has some resources, like I've done a few webinars and presentations. Those are on there. This was mainly last year. I need to update it if I'm being completely honest, but there's a lot of like PE at home resources, like a bunch of games I created for you to do PE at home or HPE at home. There's like 45 names for it, but I do need to do some updating on it, but it's a way you can reach me. But if you send me a message on Twitter, it'll probably be faster. And podcast is on there, and just some ideas and stuff like that to share. It's completely free. I have no means or interest of making money off something we all need, and we want to help each other. CoachPatChat.com needs to be in the works again. I just finished my master's 2 months ago. So I've said it on Twitter, but I haven't been active on the podcast lately. I know that's a crappy excuse, but I was just so overwhelmed. But now that life is back to normal and I have more time, that'll be coming back up soon. I have some people coming up later in the summer. So the website and the podcast will be up and running per normal pretty soon.
Fantastic. And yeah, congratulations on completing that master's, mate. What message would you give to the teachers who are new to the job and those who are currently finding themselves teaching in the sort of crazy COVID world? I know that there's a lot of them out there. What message could you give to those teachers?
They were online
yeah.
teaching?
Yeah, or anything, yeah.
Well, if it was online, play games. Find ways for the kids to make games with their families. And the two schools I've been at have been pretty lenient as far as what we can do and finding standards. There's nothing wrong with fitness videos. But me personally, I like to be a little bit, I just like to innovate. And I like the kids to create games and find stuff around their house, get creative. And when I went online, the main reason I want to do that is there may be families where dad's not usually at home or mom's not usually at home because they're working. They're at home now, so this is a perfect time for them to find ways to play games, whether it's out in the yard, in the house, stuff like that. So I really wanted them to be active but collaborate with their family members. I never did hybrid, so I can't really comment on that. PE kind of sucks because of social distancing and masks and stuff like that. Finally, this year, they said we didn't have to wear masks during PE, but that was really hard last year. My best advice for going back to school PE, if you fall into that realm, is be patient and be patient with the kids. The pandemic's hard for different people different ways. You don't know what's going on at home. You don't know what's going on in their minds. You just got to be patient. If someone needs a timeout or time to rest, not telling you how to teach, but I think you got to give it to them. It's a weird time. And when kids are stuck at home for so long and we throw them back into a full-on school day, just be patient. You'll figure it out. We all did trials in the right way, I would say, to do it. It's just what works for you and your kids.
I really liked how you sort of touched base on no one knows what's going on at home and things like that. And especially with being in an international school environment, you've got all these kids that are maybe away from grandma and granddad and away from their families as well. So, you know, they're trying to deal with that. And it might be the fact that they get to see them normally 3 or 4 times a year on the holidays, and they haven't been able to do that in the last couple of years. So I think it's really important to sort of take that step back and have that breather and go, okay, well, you know, everybody's in the same boat here. We need to help each other out. We'll wrap it up there, mate. This has been a really cool chat, but give the listeners your the best way to follow you and connect with you, and we'll leave it at that.
Before I do that, I kind of want to just give you a shout out, man. I think your podcast is awesome. I like your format. I like the quick fire questions, and you're a really good interviewer. You're really easy to talk to. I think you're doing great things. Also on Twitter, I love the videos you post. I think you're an excellent teacher, so it's really been an honor to come on your podcast.
Oh, thank you very much.
No problem, brother. The best way to meet me, one day. The best way to get in touch with me is probably Twitter. So that's @CoachPat1984. If you want to listen to my podcast, on Spotify or iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever, you just type Coach Pat Chat, one word. Don't do any spaces or it won't come up. So just type that as one word. It should come up. You can listen to that. If you really want to email me, you can email me at CoachPatChat@gmail.com.
Fantastic. And I'll put those links on my podcast, the episode bio, for those of you that aren't so good at listening like me and didn't get all that information. But Patrick, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us today. It's really cool to hear your perspective on, third culture kids and your thoughts and ideas on teaching PE around the world. So the kids are lucky to have you, mate, and keep on doing what you're doing.
I'm coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, team. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to be a guest, please feel free to message me on Twitter at all_thingspe.